Hello, and welcome to the TV Movie Rewind Podcast with Matt and Todd.
Hi, everyone.
This week, we are talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator. Ever heard of it?
Right.
We thought we'd go ultra obscure this week.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, pick possibly the biggest action stars, probably his biggest movie. I don't know if it's his biggest box office, but it's probably his most popular.
I would say so, at least if, you know, in because as much as I love Terminator, and I do, I almost don't consider that a Schwarzenegger film, despite the fact that he is the Terminator. It's like he doesn't really, he's kind of right. Just a robot in that. So if you're talking like where he is the star, my favorite is Running Man, but this is probably the biggest. Yeah, I would think. I would guess it's the one that, you know, if you bring up Schwarzenegger, I wouldn't be surprised if, aside from Terminator, right, Predator is the first movie that comes to mind.
Yeah, kind of almost the default, you know, maybe Terminator 2's up there, you know, Conan.
Oh, Terminator 2,
popular,
sure.
But I mean, this is top tier Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you know, it was the same year as The Running Man.
Top tier 80s John McTiernan too.
Yeah, this is
say what you will about his later activities, but I mean, he was money in the 80s. He just was.
This was his 90s too. first studio film, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah, because this is before Die Hard.
Right, I know it was before Die Hard, the big one, but I didn't realize that this was his first studio work. Okay, this is at least. Well, we haven't done Die Hard yet. Is this only the second McTiernan movie we've done?
Yeah, because we did 13th Warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we've done another one.
That's a little surprising.
I mean, when it comes right down to it, we haven't done a heck of a lot of Schwarzenegger either.
This is true.
We did do Running Man and we did do Commando.
Yep.
But for as popular Schwarzenegger was for us at this time, wow, we haven't done a lot.
Yeah, and a lot of it, at least for me anyway, like the two, well, I already mentioned it, right? It's the two that stand out to me the most, the two that I go back to the most are Predator, obviously this, and Running Man. Those are the to me, that's like peak. It's honestly peak entertainment. I mean, I just love those movies. I love everything about them.
Well,
every single sequence.
It was we saw them both in theater, in theaters. Dad took us to see them both, and much like, you know, recently covered Leviathan, it was kind of like, you know, those peak years.
Yeah.
For you know, Hollywood action sci-fi thriller. You know, kind of, you know, us and Dad going to see it at the theater.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it was a good run right in between. Well, really, you can go pretty far back. But I mean, if you just want to go from like Aliens to Die Hard, that's a heck of a run. Fantastic movies.
Yeah. Now, before we delve in, there are a few things that, you know, anytime anyone discusses Predator, you're obligated to mention these things or else you're podcast or YouTube channel is taken away. If you don't mention that, you know, Sonny Landham, who plays Billy, had a bodyguard with him on set, not to protect people Sonny Landham from people, but to protect people from Sonny Landham. The other thing we're required to mention is that Kevin Peter Hall, who played the Predator in costume, was also the gunner on the helicopter that picks them up at the end of the movie. We have to mention that Schwarzenegger had a challenge, like he had his biceps measured, and he told the person who was measuring his biceps for the costuming to lie and say his biceps were smaller so that he could then make a bet with Jesse Ventura on whose biceps were bigger.
I didn't know that. That's fantastic, though.
Oh, yeah. No, and then once he knew his biceps were bigger than Jesse's and that the person was going to lie and tell Jesse that, no, yours are bigger than Schwarzenegger, he was going to make the bet that he knew he'd win.
That's evil. I love it. I kind of love it, though.
I believe it was for, like, a case of beer. It wasn't something, you know, ridiculous.
Sure, no, it's just bragging rights, I guess, but that's pretty great.
Also, Jean-Claude Van Damme was originally cast to play the Predator, but depending on the sources, he either quit or was fired. And the reason he claimed, Jean-Claude Van Damme claims he quit is, like, one, he didn't realize he was going to be in this ridiculous suit. He was actually hoping that this would help launch his career because he'd be able to, you know, oh, I'm going to be in a Schwarzenegger movie taking on Schwarzenegger, and I can show off my martial arts skills. But they also, you know, they claim he was fired because once you put Jean-Claude Van Damme up against Jesse Ventura and Arnold Schwarzenegger, all these rather tall
Even
dudes,
Carl Weathers and Sonny Landham, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't look intimidating.
Which, I mean, that feels reasonable.
Supposedly, you know,
compared to what, 7'2", Kevin Peter Hall? That feels like a reasonable reason.
Well, and supposedly there's still a shot of Jean-Claude Van Damme in the movie, but it's one where he's wearing the chroma key costume, so it's an invisible, it's the Predator as invisible.
I wonder if that's the scene. I wonder if that's the scene where I can't remember his character's name now, but Bill Duke is, you know, I see you.
I think it's the scene where where it comes out of the jungle to kill Hawkins.
Oh,
Shane
okay.
Black's character.
Okay.
And then the final thing we're obligated to mention is that, again, the script started out, this is a script by Jim and John Thompson. It started out as kind of one of those, you know, the big thing was, you know, after Rocky had defeated, you know, Mr. T and the Russians, well, who was he going to fight next, an alien? And so the brothers decided, oh, let's write a script where Rocky has to take on an alien to save Earth in the, you know, in a boxing match. And from there it developed into, well, that's kind of silly. Let's turn it into Rambo versus an alien, which is essentially what the movie ended up being anyways.
Is that true?
I don't know if it's 100% true, but I've seen enough sources state that that's the fact.
Really? I mean, it's not that hard to believe, but now I kind of want to see Rocky fight an alien.
I don't know if it was ever seriously considered. I don't know if they seriously thought the script was going to go through as that, but, you know, if you're a screenwriter and you can write that into a serious screenplay, that's some serious talent.
I mean, 12-year-old me would have laughed that off and been like, no way, and I'd be trashing it to this day probably without even seeing it, but Now me, I kind of want to see if they could do that. I kind of want to see Rocky fight an alien, if I'm being honest. But at the same time, I really do love the Rocky series. So, no, I don't necessarily want that to happen. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if you could put that script together, I'll watch it at least.
Well, I mean, it's almost what happened in the Superman Muhammad Ali crossover comic book from the late 70s, where an alien armada comes to Earth and challenges Earth's greatest champion in physical combat for the fate of the planet. And Superman steps forward, well, I'm Earth's greatest champion, but Muhammad Ali says, uh-uh, you ain't really from Earth.
Right.
I'm from Earth, and I'm Earth's greatest champion, so I'm going to take them on.
I assume Muhammad Ali wins.
He was the greatest.
Yeah, okay. So that's why I'm saying, I assume, man. It's not like I read it.
All right. Now.
Well, you also got to mention the gubernatorial link.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's often stated as being the most gubernatorial action movie ever, but doesn't it really tie with The Running Man?
You'd think, yeah.
In fact, at least in The Running Man, both governors survived the movie.
This is true. Spoilers.
Well, we already did The Running Man, so we already spoiled it.
Well, I'm talking about you just spoiled Predator.
Oh, come on. It's one of the most famous scenes. Him getting lasered right through his MTV t-shirt. Now, the movie, I mean, I don't know if there's outside of the Expendables, and this was a good, you know, this came out like 15, well,
probably 20, close to 20 years.
Oh, yeah. 15, almost 20 years before, more than 20 years before the Expendables.
Yeah, because the first Expendables was what, 2007, 2008, 9, 10?
I think it was like 2010.
There. Yeah.
So, yeah, like 23 years. I mean, this has got like an assemblage of badass mofos.
Yep.
You know, like we mentioned, Sonny Landham, Jesse Ventura, Bill Duke, Carl Weathers, the recently departed Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
Still hard to believe he's gone. Richard Chavez, who was one of the first celebrities I ever met. He was at the first sci-fi convention I ever went to. He was there along with James Doohan of Star Trek fame. And he was actually promoting the first season of the War of the Worlds television series, which he was starring in at that time. And, you know, despite that's what he was promoting, most people wanted to talk about Predator during his panel.
Well, of course, because this is early 90s, so or maybe even not even, right? Like, was Predator 2 even out yet then?
No, this would have been, was it 88 or 88?
So 88,
Predator was
yeah.
barely even a year, you know, a year or two old.
Yeah, we would still be watching it. Remember when, like, we saw it in the theater, right, for the first time, as you mentioned, when Dad had taken us. But then when it hit HBO, I vividly remember, like, appointment viewing of it basically every time it was on, which was a lot because it was HBO and it only had so many movies on at a given time. But I remember the summer or whatever that it came on, like, we watched it a lot and then recorded it on VHS and watched it even more.
Oh yeah.
Watched the hell out of this movie when it was out.
I mean, I've owned it on VHS, DVD and Blu-ray. I mean, this is, you know,
right. I've owned at least two different versions of it. Yeah.
I doubt there's anybody listening to this who hasn't seen it at least a dozen times or close to.
I mean, it's
one of the most popular movies out there.
I mean, you're most likely right, but every so often I remember, like, as much as I don't really know the demographics of our listeners, right? So technically we are talking, like, right now, we're talking about a movie that's pushing 40. So it would be similar to us talking about, you know, having to see a movie from like the 40s when we were about the same, you know what I'm saying, or the 50s or so when we were about the same age. I mean, it's a bit easier when you have the internet, and certainly easy enough to find the Predator. It's probably on just about every streaming service. So it's not like hard to find for sure, but, you know, I don't know, maybe not everyone. You might be young enough, whereas this, you know, it might just not be one of the movies you got to yet. You got, like, you know, decades of movies to go through if you're going to.
Yeah, but again, if you're into, even if you're not in our age group, if you're into this genre, I still gotta believe you've seen Predator.
I mean, I would be surprised, right? But at the same time, when you do the math, it's like, oh yeah, I guess, yeah. You know,
I mean, three sequels.
I'd be interested to know. I mean, I'm sure I'd be stunned if you hadn't heard of it. You'd have to be pretty young, I suppose, but I'd be stunned if you hadn't heard of it.
Three sequels, a prequel.
This is true. I forget how many sequels there are.
Numerous comic books, novels, crossover with the Alien franchise. I mean, this movie's, you know, there's, what, as many Predator movies as there is Star Wars movies.
Right, but even if you saw the later ones, it's not a guarantee that you go back. Like, again, I don't really know I have no idea the demographics of our audience, but I would assume, like you're saying, I would assume, you've probably seen it. Or if you haven't, you didn't want to. For whatever reason.
No. It is impossible for me to believe that somebody has seen one of the Predator movies and it's not this one.
Unlikely for sure, but I don't say impossible.
Well, you know what? If the MythBusters were still working together, I'd send that myth for them to bust. Let them travel the country interviewing everybody. All right. So, the like we the screenplay was written by the did I say Thompson Brothers or Johnson Brothers? Thompson Brothers. Anyways, Shane Black, who, you know, has made a name for himself in recent years by writing the, you know, he was here as a cast member. He plays Hawkins, but he was also there because he was kind of the script doctor, you know, punching up the script, punching up the dialogue as they were filming. And, you know, everybody knows Shane Black, at least from Kiss Bang Bang and The Nice Guys, if not Iron Man 3. He also came back and directed the last sequel so far, The Predator. And that's about everything I'm going to say about The Predator.
It was all right. I thought it was all right. Prey was great.
Boy, we can't agree on anything, can we?
Also, you know, Monster Squad, Lethal Weapon.
Well, that's the thing, is Lethal Weapon at one point, his script for Lethal Weapon was one of the most sought-after bid-on scripts that had been up until that time, and I think may even still kind of hold that record. Everybody wanted the script for Lethal Weapon. But then, you know, he also wrote The Last Action Hero, The Last Boy Scout, and The Long Kiss Goodnight, which was originally titled The Last Kiss Goodnight. He had something about that, you know, last in being his titles. So, oh, and because before I bring the podcast to a screeching halt to discuss the comic book again, throughout his appearances in the movie, and you see it most clearly in the closing credits where they show everybody, he's reading a Sergeant Rock comic book, specifically Sergeant Rock number 408. That was kind of a little inside joke because at the time it was expected that the next movie Schwarzenegger was going to make after The Predator was going to be a Sergeant Rock adaptation. That, of course, it never ended up happening.
Do you know if he was writing it?
He may have been.
To do with it creatively? I wonder if he did.
Might have actually been part of it, but I don't know. But yeah, that's another comic book I had to seek out and own because it appears in a movie, Sergeant Rock number 408. Now, the movie is, you know, I don't think I really have to tell people what the movie's about. But basically, the movie again begins with Arnold Schwarzenegger's team of mercenaries being called in for what they're being told is a rescue mission, because a cabinet member's ambassador helicopter was flying off course and was shot down, and the ambassador and his, entourage have been taken captive by guerrillas, and CIA agent Dylan, played by the late, great Carl Weathers, calls Schwarzenegger's team in to rescue them. And, you know, right from the beginning, Schwarzenegger tries to make it like, well, you know, my team's a rescue team. We're not assassins. We don't take on these other types of missions to just go in and kill people. We're a rescue team. Not that they don't kill people with the utmost glee and panache, you know?
Right.
Schwarzenegger,
I have no qualms about it. It's just not their job description.
No. And so, you know, they go off into the jungle, which, you know, Dylan, we know Dylan served with Schwarzenegger in what was probably the Vietnam War. He mentions he and Schwarzenegger's characters, Dutch, both received a medal together. We know Bill Duke and Jesse Ventura's character served together because they are best of friends.
Right.
Speaking of serving in the Vietnam War, both Jesse Ventura and Richard Chavez served in combat in Vietnam.
Yeah, Ventura was a SEAL.
Yes, and I believe Chavez was with the Army, United States Army. So they go in, and at first, you know, as they're marching through the jungle, they come across another crashed helicopter. Well, first they come through to the first crashed helicopter, and, you know, check that out. And then they come across bodies of an American Green Beret team that, you know, again, Dylan pretends he has no idea what they were doing there. But this is our first hint. Well, no, our first hint of the Predator is the opening credits when right. we see the spaceship land on Earth. Yeah. Which I've actually seen some people complain that that was something that should have been left out of the movie.
Why?
I think they thought it would be more mysterious if we didn't know the Predator was an alien. But
no, I think it works better, much better, to know it's an alien from the beginning. Because then you're not put off by all of its technology immediately.
Yeah.
You know? You're just like, oh, it's an alien. Okay.
I mean, you're seeing it. You often see it looking at our main cast with its heat vision.
Right.
You know, we're often given... And the whole movie was sold on the premise that it was like some sort of intergalactic hunter right. from outer space coming to Earth to hunt the ultimate prey.
Right. Like, I could almost see it if it was an effect that, like, a badly done effect that didn't hold up, but it's perfectly fine. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it either. But right from here, you know, there's confusion because, you know, Sonny Landham's character and Schwarzenegger's character is like, you know, these guys were good. They wouldn't have walked into an ambush. And, you know, there's members of his team missing. And Billy's like looking at the scene and saying, yeah. And it looks like they were firing in all directions. And the missing member of his team never left here because there's no tracks going in, other tracks going in and out of here. You know, something weird happened here, but God only knows what.
Now, I will admit, it's not like it gave me nightmares or anything, but as 11 or 12 or so as to what I was, the image of the red-skinned, like, strung-up soldiers was probably about the most gruesome thing I had seen to date.
It's still...
Next to maybe the melting Nazis at the end of Raiders, right?
I don't know. Like, the melting Nazis is so over the top. It
right.
Bob, this is way more gruesome, I think.
Or maybe Poltergeist is a better one. But yeah, like, it was very gruesome. An image that has stuck with me forever. And I've seen a lot of horror movies and stuff, but that still sticks with me.
So it isn't long before they come up upon the guerrilla camp and they, you know, see one of the captives being executed. So, of course, Schwarzenegger makes the call that they're going to have to go in now. You know, you can't wait for nightfall to help, you know, the darkness help cover their attack. If they're executing the people, we got to go now before they kill everybody, which, as they will soon find out, they're already too late for that. But, you know, they didn't know that. They had to go in right away. And we get our first, you know, well, not only do we get our first action sequence, we get one of the first things they always like. Whenever Schwarzenegger's in a movie, they have to show his immense strength.
Yes.
Like almost superhuman
strength. He's got to do something, yeah.
And, you know, we got the famous scene with, you know, at the beginning with Dylan, you son of a. And they do like the kind of arm wrestling gig, and you see both, you know, Schwarzenegger's and Weathers' huge biceps. Well, this has Schwarzenegger sneaking in to set up an explosives when he realizes that they're using a pickup truck jacked up as, you know, a running pickup truck as a generator. You know, they have it jacked up and the wheel is, you know, spinning the generator and powering them with whatever power they need. And he decides that he's going to throw the explosive charge and sneak up, throw the explosive charge in the pickup truck and let that go careening through the camp and blowing something up, which will be the signal for everybody to attack. The only, and again, this is just nitpicking because, you know, it's all meant for fun and exploring, but when you're leading an attack, it's really not a good idea to call an audible at the last second and decide to do something that isn't part of the plan. Because when that truck goes careening through, all the people on Schwarzenegger's team are like, the hell is he doing? What the heck's going on?
Right, he doesn't even mention what he's doing. He just kind of does it. Yeah. He's almost Leroy Jenkins, but he can get away with it because he's Schwarzenegger.
Well, right. And I mean, they kind of knew that, you know, that it was going to, you know, the explosion was going to be the signal to attack anyways.
Right.
But, you know, we get this big spectacular explosion and our first big spectacular. It's actually probably the biggest action sequence in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because we get all our heroes and all these soldiers just, you know, in this wonderfully choreographed, chaotic action sequence, which was probably, I mean, the stunt coordinator was our beloved Craig R. Baxley.
Oh, right on.
And he was also the second unit director on this film. So most of this action sequence was more than likely directed by him, because that's generally what a second unit director is doing. And it really kind of, it's one of the first movies I can remember that puts, makes you feel like you're in the middle of this big, huge, explosive firefight. I mean, you know, you're definitely not watching it from afar. You're in the middle of it as bodies are flying. And I mean, bodies are flying in flames all over the place in this sequence.
Oh, yeah. And you know, we have the we have the Blu-ray, so you can see like every little tiny splinter of every little ember. And you're right, like they're right in your face. Everything is right up in your face, but it's not over jump cut either. Like you can get a sense of of the fighting, and it makes sense, right? Because you're in this sort of claustrophobic jungle in this like relatively small camp sort of clearing, and they're just kind of swarming it. So you get the feeling of that claustrophobia and all the fire around. It's really well done.
Yeah, you get Jesse Ventura like just shredding people with his minigun.
Some great dialogue too.
Richard Chavez is you know, armed with a grenade launcher, you know, blowing people up. And there's, of course, another famous scene is Schwarzenegger throwing his machete through somebody, pinning him to a post and saying, Stick around.
Yep.
I'm not an assassin. I'm a rescue man. I'm here to rescue people. I have just rescued you from your life.
We get some great, like, we get some, you know, in quotes, you know, like badass dialogue. Like, maybe my favorite, of course, is, you know, when he's like Chavez. It's either Chavez or Hawkins. I think it's Chavez.
It's Chavez. Yeah.
Who says, oh, so you already know where I'm going with this, when he says to Ventura, you're bleeding.
We got to start with, do you want to be Ventura or Chavez?
I might as well be Ventura. It's an easy
Then you got to start with how he describes the
gorilla. Oh, they're dug in like an Alabama tick.
Hey, man, you're hit. You're bleeding.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Okay. Doof, doof, doof. You got time to duck?
Yep. It's a whole bunch of that like interplayed with some just some fantastic action and stunt work. It's very 80s in the best ways.
What's great about the "I ain't got time to bleed" line is that even Chavez within the movie is
right.
Like,
come on,
okay, dude. What are you, an action hero in the middle of an action movie with this line?
Right.
And then, like, with the whole "you ain't got time to duck," he's basically just trying to take the piss out of the major machismo of Blaine.
Oh yeah, no, you could almost see like Chavez's eyes roll along with ours on that. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, all right, that is pretty badass.
So the team basically wipes out the entire guerrilla village except for one who, let's face it, she only gets to survive because she's a woman. Because when Schwarzenegger hits her in the face with his gun when she tries to sneak up on him, he puts his gun to her face.
Oh, yeah, he's ready to pull the trigger.
But then when he sees it's a woman, it's like, oh, can't do that.
Right.
I'm a rescue team. I don't kill a woman. Oh, look, there's another person there still bleeding. Let me throw my machete through his head.
Right.
And, you know, it's also as if it hadn't been clear before that, you know, this was all a lie. we don't really know exactly what Dylan sent them here to do, like what the situation was.
But it feels like a hit.
Well, it was a hit.
Yeah, yeah, we don't know exactly. We don't know the information he was trying to recover, but he was clearly there. It was a hit. Yeah.
But it had something to do with the Russians and, right, you know, the guerrillas and whatever. But none of that's important, because what this all was is just to get our heroes into the situation where there happens to be an interstellar hunter active in the area. So, regardless of whether it had been a rescue mission or not, this is all just set up.
Right.
Great bit of setup, because it even, you know, it all through this leading up to here, Carl Weathers as Dylan has been an outsider. There was, you know, as they were going through the jungle earlier, you know, Billy Duke gets mad at him because it's like, you know, you're making too much noise, you're ghosting us. You keep alerting others, you know, people to our, you're going to alert somebody to our position. And if you do it again, I'm going to just cut you and let you bleed out here in the middle of the jungle real quiet. And now that they realize that he has put them in an even deadlier situation for what was not a rescue mission, they hate him even more. Because, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because you had mentioned, you mentioned Bill Duke again in that scene in particular. He is the one who's getting my whip whistle for this movie.
I was tempted to give it to Craig Baxley again.
Mm.
Because, you know, again, this movie is just so heavy, action heavy and on its stunts. But I'm giving it to, you know, Kevin Peter Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Because that had to have been, you know, the filming in the jungle, which I'm sure is hot and uncomfortable, and then you got to get in the steamy suit and get in these action sequences and having these fights with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That couldn't have been easy.
Oh, no, and it couldn't.
The Predator, he does cut an imposing form as the Predator. But, you know, I guess with that, I also have to mention Peter Cullen, who does, yep, the voice of the Predator, you know, that little clicking noises. So, you know, the voice of Optimus Prime. And, well,
so I just assumed that was some sort of instrument or something, or even animal. I didn't realize that was him making those noises.
No, nope, cool. That's Peter Cullen making those noises. And then the Stan Winston effects for the Predator.
Fantastic effects in this movie in general, but especially obviously the Predator itself. I mean, the whole, the outfit, costume, rig, I don't know what you'd call it. Again, even in the light of cleaned up high definition, still looks fantastic.
So they find out that, you know, a large contingent of guerrillas are now surrounding the area they're in, and they can't go out the way they came. And so Billy has to find them on the map another way out. And he says, well, this is the only other way out of this valley where we can make our extraction point. But it's going to be a hell of a journey that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But they've got no other choice. So they take the woman captive because Dylan insists that he wants to interrogate her, and they make their way off into the jungle. And from here, I mean, this whole movie is like a continuing, you know, action sequence after action sequence. It really doesn't let up.
Oh, a brilliantly paced movie. It does keep the tension going throughout. Like pretty much as soon as they land out of that helicopter, you know, after, you know, they get briefed and they're in the helicopter, maybe 10 minutes in, 15 tops. I mean, you're already seeing all the skinned soldiers, and then they get into this huge firefight, and then they're being stalked by the Predator.
And that's this. They don't even know they're being stalked by the Predator.
Right.
We know because we've seen it. But they're tense because a superior force is, you know, encircling them in, and they got to get out. Then there's the tension within the group because none of them like Dylan. And also they're trying to drag along this captive who makes several escape attempts. And At one point, she makes an attempt to escape, and Hawkins runs after her, you know, manages to catch up with her. And just as he's about to get her under control, we get our first not so good look at the Predator. But yeah, the amazing, what's one of the amazing things about this movie is the camouflage effect of the alien, because it's not 100% invisible. It's got that bent light, you know. You can kind of see it there as it bends the light around it. It's this kind of shimmer effect.
It's almost like the heat haze you get off the street or a grill or something in the summer.
And again, we're describing it to people as if they haven't seen it.
Sure.
You know, like
sure.
People are listening, this Predator film, I should check this out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it comes alive. Like, and it does, you know, with the way when the rest of the team comes up and tries to, you know, where's Hawkins? And she's speaking in Spanish to what happened. And Chavez says, like, she says the jungle came alive and took him. That is kind of what it looks like. That might be how I explained it to somebody if I had witnessed the same thing. The jungle came alive and took him, or a ghost came out of the jungle and took him.
Right, right. No, that's it's a good explanation as any. Because we get to see it, and it's like, yeah, the jungle did kind of come alive and take. Because you're not thinking, oh, well, it's an invisible alien, right? But yeah, I do like the way that they put that. The jungle came alive and took them. Yeah.
And it's used in the trailer, and again, it's just a brilliant way to, you know, advertise the movie as, you know, what's killing these, you know, ultimate badass soldiers? What could possibly be doing this to them? So they start looking around because they're not leaving their man behind, and you know, they all go off to try to find Hawkins, and that's when the next one is taken out. Jesse Ventura, who, again, not really a complaint, but kind of a complaint, is taken from us out of the movie far too soon.
He is.
Blasted through by the alien pulse rifle, just, you know, as he's, you know, ready to deliver his own, you know, little badass line, come to the pain. he gets blasted through his MTV t-shirt. Bill Dukes gets there just in time to kind of, again, see the shimmer of the alien escaping. And he just goes nuts. He picks up, you know, he fires off his own gun. Then he picks up, you know, Ventura's minigun, blasts away into the jungle. And again, it's one of the most famous scenes. How many famous scenes?
Right.
You know,
the entire movie, pretty much, yeah.
Firing off into the jungle, basically whittling down every piece of vegetation in front of them, you know, clearing off a jungle that, you know, hey, we can now build a housing tract here. They
cleared out like a landing strip. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The helicopter should come in and get them from there.
Right. But it's scenes like this, and he gets several of them as to why I chose Bill Duke. Like, he gets these little side scenes where he gets to stand out, whether it be because of something he says, you know, usually to Carl Weathers, or when he stabs a little scorpion off his back, or when he has this scene after he sees his friend dies, or gives his little speeches like that. That's, I mean, I think of him with this movie practically as much as I think of Schwarzenegger, if I'm being honest.
You 100% believe his anguish.
Yeah.
You believe he's just seen his best friend die.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he doesn't know how to process it. And, you know, after they've emptied their guns at least twice, because you see them reload their guns and start firing away during the sequence, they say, what were we shooting at? And, you know, Billy
Fair Duke question.
Can really only be saying, like, I saw it. Schwarzenegger and Weathers are examining, you know, Ventura's body, and they're confused too. It's like, there's, you know, he's been shot right through, but there's no shrapnel, there's no powder burns, you know, the wound is fused. What could have done this to a man? Chavez goes out to kind of look, scout, and he says, you know, there's nothing out there. We didn't hit anything. And this is my only real complaint in this movie, because
right, they have a tracker.
We did see that the Predator get hit and spilt its glowing green blood.
A fair bit of it, mind you.
And Chavez didn't see that?
No one saw it. No one saw the neon, like, glowing green blood. Now, granted, it's green on green, but when we see Anna, I think that's her name, you know,
she
touching
sees it.
Yeah, like, is it Chavez? I think walks right up to it and is like, come on, let's go. And it's, you don't see that?
Yeah.
No, she doesn't mention it? Like, come on. You not
well,
notice
again,
that.
She shouldn't have to mention it. It's Carl Weathers who's looking right at it. It's this big neon glowing blood spatter.
Billy can recount a firefight that already happened like days ago, but he doesn't notice the giant glowing green blood everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only problem I have with this movie, that mm-hmm. that's like there's no way none of them but Anna saw this. You know, again, especially when Chavez specifically says he went out there looking to see if they hit anything, and he didn't. You know, because right. It wouldn't just be that splatter. It left a trail of blood.
Right.
That it actually then, you know, because even the Predator has to have its little scene where, you know, almost like out of Rambo, when Rambo's, you know, sewing himself back up and screaming as you know, he even does that.
Yeah, it's a very similar scene. Yeah, I was thinking that as well.
So they set up camp for the night, and you know they set up traps because they know there is something out there, whether they can figure out what it is or not. And during the night, something sets off their trip flares. Billy Duke goes charging at it with his knife, and he kills it. You know, you hear the struggle, you hear him killing it with his knife. They rush over for it, and we find out that it was a wild boar, that you know, an enormous wild boar that Billy Duke had ended up killing.
Hand to hand, mind you.
Hand to hand. And, you know, Chavez just kind of flippantly jokes at it, but taking down a boar hand to hand with a knife ain't no joke.
A boar that big that has survived the jungle that long, no. And presumably because it was charging, I guess. So yeah, presumably enraged as well. No, that's no small feat.
Not at all. So they, you know, just before that they kind of can even come down from that little adrenaline rush, the Predator attacks again and makes off with Ventura's body. And they're like, again, they're confused. Like, what the hell is going on? What is this? How did it get in and out? So now they decide that, you know, and Anna points out that when the big man was killed, it bled. One of you hit it. And that, you know, another line from the movie, if it bleeds, we can kill it. So they decide, like, we're going to set up a trap for it. And, oh, no, it didn't take Blaine's body, because they're going to use Blaine's body as the bait. They set up this elaborate trap for it. It arrives. It actually drops in. It's, again, it's another, shows you how powerful and stealthy this thing is, because it drops in right behind Schwarzenegger. It's a nice little jump scare. If you don't know what's coming, I've seen the movie now. I'm just waiting for it.
That's either my apartment in the background or the Predator. Hopefully it's the apartment.
Well, as long as you're not armed, there's no sport.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You know, it gets caught up in a net, but of course it immediately escapes. The counterweight swings down and smashes into Richard Chavez, probably busting more than a couple of ribs, and takes off through the jungle. And Bill Dukes, you know, goes running after it. You know, he's going to kill it. Schwarzenegger's going to go after Bill Duke, but Carl Weathers says, no, I'm going to go get him back. You get Chavez to the chopper. So I don't know whether this was compensating that, you know, normally the black guy is the first one to get killed in these movies. So since they didn't do that, they're just going to kill both the black guys together.
It's unfortunate, too, because this is one of my favorite scenes as well.
Yeah. And
again, Billy Duke, just when he's out there pointing.
I really wish that, you know, because it's kind of hard because it's only one Predator. You kind of wish you'd gotten to see Billy Dukes get a measure of vengeance.
Yes. Yeah, I don't. I mean, again, it's not like really a complaint of the movie. I guess it's how it affects you, right? But yeah, no, that always bothered me about this whole story is like you really wanted to see Billy Duke be able to get something. You know, I mean, I guess he, you know, he hit him with one of his many million rounds from Old Painless, but, or at least someone did. But yeah, like the way he goes down is just, it's that one hurt me the most probably of any of them. Actually, I guess it certainly did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although poor Carl Weathers too. Well, all of them really, but.
Yeah. I mean, you really wish that they'd gotten to. Billy, you wish Bill Duke had gotten some measure of vengeance and that, you know, Carl Weathers had been able to better redeem himself and put up a better fight. But again,
right.
It isn't because they're not good at what they do. It's that because the Predator is, well, it's got the technology. It's, you know,
right.
It's
hunting. It's not looking for a stand-up fight. Like, and that's, and again, to me, like that's part of what makes the movie probably part of what grips the movie for me and makes it that much more effective is that you want them to be able to have that stand-up fight, but that's just not how it's working because he's an alien hunter who can go invisible. So it's going pretty much how it was going to.
But it shows how well the movie is made and how much you get into it.
Right.
Because other movies that are just like, I don't want to say.
You're just waiting for things to happen.
Well, but also that is like, you know, most of these guys don't even get to have a character.
Right.
They're just there as cannon fodder to be picked off by, you know, the threat. And you don't have any emotional investment into their character. So you're right. It's just like, oh, no, that guy got killed.
Right. You're just counting down. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no tension in it. This is tension.
Yep.
So, yeah. Carl Weathers and Bill Duke, you know, they managed as well. Bill Duke spots him. You know, he calls Carl Weathers over. And at first you think it's the Predator using the recordings that he was making, tricking Carl Weathers. But no, it is Bill Duke. And he, you know, points him out there past them trees.
And I see you.
Since the... they're only armed with submachine guns. That's, you know, it's not hard to tell, and I'm no expert, but I'm assuming that the machine guns, you know, the Predator was out of range of those guns. Like, they knew they couldn't get a good bead on it and kill it from where they were, because otherwise that would have been the perfect thing to do.
Sure.
Is fire on it from where they were, but they knew that if we open up, we're not going to hit it. It's out of range, and it's just going to disappear into the jungle again. So they come up with a plan where Carl Weathers is going to try to flush it towards Billy Duke so that Billy Duke can get it. So they both start moving stealthily through the trees, but clearly not stealthily enough because as Bill Duke is crawling past some logs, he sees the Predator's... infrared laser targeting system on his arm, and he makes the mistake of putting his head up there, and he's blasted through the head.
And this was super effective in 87 for number one. I was pretty young, so again, that's probably the second gnarliest thing I had seen, and it was in the same movie. Two, I totally didn't expect them to actually show that as much as they did, although it's a relatively tame effect, I guess, for you know, compared to what you might see now. And three, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so. Like, we hadn't seen the Predator quite do that yet. So we're just as you know, confused as to what those lasers are, or at least again, 11-year-old me was, you know, so I could sort of understand the heck, what, where's that coming from sort of thing.
Well, my biggest memory of it is because the way it goes, is it shows Billy Duke getting hit in the head. Then it cuts to Carl Weathers going, that sounded like somebody's skull being blown apart by a plasma weapon. And then Billy Duke's bloody head falling back, you know, into, you know, the camera. And I remember is it sitting in the theater because, you know, like his dad took us to see it. And I remember distinctly after the laser blast and the cuts to Carl Weathers, dad, who does not like gore at all, turning to me and like, thankfully they didn't show us the bloody head wound. And then he turns back to the screen just in time to see the bloody head wound.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't make that up. It was just so perfectly timed.
It was perfectly timed. Yeah.
You know, I am chuckling as, you know, Bill Duke has been, you know, unceremoniously killed. Then we get poor Carl Weathers, who gets an even gnarlier kill.
Yeah. This is brutal to watch.
He sees Bill Duke get killed. Then he sees the Predator, but as he's getting his gun up to fire, the Predator shoots his arm off. His severed arm hits the ground, still holding the, you know, trigger down on the submachine gun. So that thing's firing away as the Predator rushes Carl Weathers with its famous claw. And take a drink during a, I should put an edit something in at the beginning for somebody to take, have a drinking game where they take a drink every time we use the word famous and review. And he's trying to bring up his other arm, and you got to give it to him. You know, he's obviously in shock from the loss of his arm, but he still has the wherewithal as this alien is running towards him to try to get his other gun up to defend himself. Unfortunately, he doesn't manage it, and he's killed by the Predator. And Billy Chavez, Schwarzenegger, and Anna all hear his screams off, you know, in the distance, and they know, like, that didn't go well, and we're next. So now, you know, Billy, Dutch, Pancho, and Anna are, you know, they're working together. Any semblance that Anna is their prisoner or isn't a member of the team anymore is gone. It is now, you know, we're all in this together because there's something beyond us hunting us, and, you know, we're dead. And she's, you know, helping to get, you know, Chavez moving because he can barely walk on his own. You know, she's helping carry him. She's helping get the weapons so they can keep moving. They know it's close. So
she also gives us the only exposition outside of, you know, what we see in the very beginning with the ship landing, you know, heading down to Earth, and then what we see of the Predator himself. She also gives like a little exposition that implies that this isn't this thing's first visit. No. Like, she doesn't obviously suspect alien or anything like that. She's just like, oh, I've kind of, you know, there's been legends of this sort of situation.
Yes, during the hottest seasons, you know, when the temperature really gets in there, because, yeah, this thing, well, at least in this movie and the second movie, it's, you know, implied that the Predators only operate in extreme heat.
Yes.
Which is why in Alien versus Predator, they had a base at the South Pole. Never mind.
Yeah.
So, Sonny Landham knows it's on him, and he decides he's going to go buy the team the rest of them some time. And when they reach this log that's you know, acting as a bridge over a chasm, he stays behind, and, you know, he drops his gun. Whether he knows that's going to make the Predator want to go mano a mano as opposed to shoot him for a distance, we don't know. But I mean, we know. We don't know how he knows.
Right.
He pulls out his machete, he cuts his chest, which I wish I could remember who said this so I could credit them, but they said the reason they felt the reason Billy cut his chest was so that the predator would hone in on his blood.
That was always my assumption.
Yeah, well, I never thought it. I actually thought it was just like getting his adrenaline running.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, it, to me, because he had said earlier in the movie at some point, when I think, you know, after the attack, but, you know, when they were being stalked, he had said something along the lines of, I don't think any of us are getting out of this jungle alive. Or something to that effect. So I think he pretty much knew, yeah, exactly what he was doing. And my assumption when he cut himself was to, yeah, use the scent or whatever. Because he had figured out, you know, although it was pretty obvious at that point, they were being hunted. And I suppose that was part of his reason for dropping the gun, was just like a reasoning of this would probably work. You know, I guess what I'm saying is I could see where he kind of figured that. This scene is the one that probably bothers me the most. Like my small p problem, especially after you just get the two scenes that you get, right, between the way Bill Duke goes down, or especially everything in general up to this point, but in particular the way Bill Duke and then Carl Weathers goes down. You know, Billy, he's getting there, the music's going, he takes off a shirt, he drops the gun, he cuts himself, and I'm expecting something epic, and you just get kind of a scream in the jungle.
Yes, you get the predator eye view of him coming up on Billy, and then it cuts to Schwarzenegger, Chavez, and Anna hearing the scream and turning around. And yeah, again, you kind of wish you got to see Billy make his last stand.
Yeah, yeah. Like even, I mean, even when I was 11, I certainly expected him to be killed, but it just still bothers me how it just kind of goes like that. I don't necessarily disagree with the artistic choice to do it that way either. Like I can kind of understand why they did it. So that's why it's like a small P problem, small C complaint. I'm not saying that I would outright change it or anything like that, or that it, you know, ruins a movie or whatever. It's just kind of like, man, after those scenes we just got, to let it go just like that, just that bothers me.
It obviously saved on the effects budget as well.
Sure.
So after making quick work of Billy, it doesn't take long before it catches up with the others and shoots Chavez in the head from a distance, killing him. Schwarzenegger spots it and shoots on it. And the only reason Schwarzenegger survives is because the Predator's plasma bolt hits his rifle, which knocks Schwarzenegger to the ground, but takes the rifle is blown apart. So Schwarzenegger is kind of knocked back and stunned, but not actually hit by the bolt. He goes yelling to Anna, you know, because he already said, like, as long as
you're famous not armed, line.
Yes, he says, hurry, expedite yourself and get to the helicopter so that you may escape.
Yes.
Is this or something
to that effect.
I mean, again, it's so famous that the recent, what is it, Allstate commercials are using it, where it's like State Farm.
State Farm, yes.
Yes. Like a good neighbor. 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 Like a good neighbor. State Farm. It's that famous.
Yeah.
Take another drink. So she runs off to the helicopter while the Predator chases down Schwarzenegger. And really, it is to Schwarzenegger's benefit that the gun is destroyed.
Yeah.
As we will find out. We get the obligatory falling down the hill, off a cliff, into a river.
Can't have a jungle movie without one.
He, you know, kind of escapes via river. Swims up to the shore, drags himself up onto the riverbank, covering himself in mud. We see the predator. Well, we don't see the predator. We see the splash it makes as it drops into the river behind him. So Schwarzenegger knows, oh my God, it's right there behind me.
I love the way that scene is shot, though.
Yes.
That's just really good. You know, he's just laying there, and then you see this sploosh in the background. That really well done.
He drags himself, covering himself in mud, which is a key plot point because as the predator gets itself to shore, it can't find him because the cold mud that he has got all over himself is interrupting the predator's heat vision. So he couldn't find him. And just in case that was lost on the audience, Schwarzenegger lets us know he couldn't see me.
Now, in my head for years until I had seen the movie again, I thought he delivered that line like way more obvious. But no, in his defense, he kind of tries to say it to himself as best as he can. I mean, you know, he's the one, he's given the line to do it. And I think he does a good enough job to make it seem like it's something that just occurred to him.
Now, the Mythbusters actually did this as a myth to see if, like, the mud, covering yourself in mud will hold and, you know, block infrared or heat thermal camera from being able to spot you. And it will for a short period of time. Your body heat is going to heat up that mud and be see-through. But he had just been in the river, so that would have cooled right down his skin temperature. The mud was still cold. We're having fun.
Right. Like the, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, he was already in the cold water. The mud was still cold and the predator's suit was glitching. I mean, we see him kind of like maybe fix it or at least all the sparkiness stops, but how well his whatever vision, presumably infrared, is working is, heat vision anyway.
But now we see Schwarzenegger basically being a one man A team and building an elaborate series of traps.
It's almost like a different movie at this point.
Yeah, to lure the predator in, because he's got no weapon, he's got no more guns. It is just him against this predator. So he prepares this whole thing, and you know, the predator comes in, and again, there's the scene where the predator sets off his traps, and there's some spectacular shots of the predator just shooting off its plasma cannon and setting all these, you know, explosions and sparks, lighting up the jungle. It is a visual feast of explosions, and it's almost like a fireworks display.
Oh, yeah. No, it turns night into day.
And then, you know, it corners Schwarzenegger, and then it realizes that, you know, Schwarzenegger is going to be its ultimate prey. And I mean, before you said it didn't want a fair fight, but at this point it decides it wants to give Schwarzenegger as fair a fight as possible, because it takes off its mask, it takes off its plasma gun, and it's ready to take on Schwarzenegger fist to fist. Schwarzenegger, unfortunately, still doesn't really stand a chance against this thing. And I guess during the filming, because Kevin Peter Hall couldn't really see very well in all this makeup, he did unfortunately land a few blows in Schwarzenegger's face because, you know, he's just kind of flailing around in all this makeup.
Well, right. Makeup in, it's not like it's a skin tight suit either. He's got all these prosthetics all over him, all over his hands. Yeah, he probably doesn't know where he begins and the suit ends at certain points.
And all through the movie, we've seen that the predator is intelligent. I mean, we know it's intelligent because of, you know, its equipment. But it's also not just this dumb thing that's being led around.
It's a seasoned hunter on top of being, like, it doesn't suddenly forget its surroundings just because it's an action movie. Like, it figures out, it knows when it's being lured.
Because as Schwarzenegger's being pummeled, he realizes, you know, I got to get away from this. I got to lure this thing into the trap. Otherwise, I don't stand a chance. So he crawls away and gets behind one of the traps that it's set up. And just before the predator is about to step into the trap, it pauses. And Schwarzenegger's trying to get it. You know, come on, I'm here. Kill me, kill me. And the predator's like, looking around.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I'm going to come kill you. But I'm going to go around this way to come kill you. It didn't, however, consider the counterweight for the trap. And that's what Schwarzenegger uses. He kicks the trap open from his side. The counterweight comes down on the predator, and Schwarzenegger is victorious, kind of, for the moment. Because as he, you know, is about to finish it off with the boulder, for some reason he pauses. I don't know. I would have just like, screw this. After what you did to me and my team, I'm going to crush your head with this rock.
Oh, absolutely.
But instead he pauses. And it might just be like, well, actually, he'd already gotten a good look at it. He'd already said the line.
It's the famous line. Yep.
But he pauses, and that allows the Predator to, you know, open up its gauntlet and set off a self-destruct switch, which Schwarzenegger, again, to his credit, immediately realizes what this thing is doing.
Thankfully, it's beeping.
Predator cackling away. I probably would have been like, what's that?
Yeah, what?
Is that a video game?
Are you going to show me something? Yeah.
What? Here comes two.
Yeah, right. Oh, the beeping is getting quicker.
And he goes off running and barely escapes a massive explosion. And I also love the way this explosion goes off, because the way...
Oh, yeah, he hauls ass.
Well, that and the way Schwarzenegger is silhouetted against this blinding white explosion... You know, it's a white flash as opposed to a big fiery...
Right, the shadow.
Yeah. The rescue helicopter has no trouble spotting that, and it comes in, and Schwarzenegger obviously heard the chopper coming, and is like, I'm going to stand here looking all cool and badass, so that it sees me standing... They see me standing here looking all cool and badass when they come when they come to land. And
he has the wherewithal to pose, yeah.
And I'm going to tell them, I walked away from the explosion without looking back as it blew up behind me. That's going to be my story.
Now, the explosion, massive enough to create this, you know, sizable mushroom cloud, and also affect a helicopter some distance away, presumably by electromagnetic pulse, I guess. But yeah, you know, Schwarzenegger was able to cover the distance.
Yeah, I mean, it was, some sort of low yield.
It was something, but it's one of those things where like that whole sequence is a little confusing, because it's like, okay, well, how big was that explosion? Because like the picture you're showing me looks massive, but how far did Schwarzenegger really run before it went off?
It was obvious that they were kind of in a depression, like they were, you know, and I would say it's the topography that helped save, like, not only just the trees, but the topography, like he was able to get up and over a hill that helped maybe protect him from the blast. But yeah, the Predator goes out. The Predators are sore losers, we should say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And thus ends one of the greatest action movies, sci-fi, alien movies of all time.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the greatest and one of the most rewatchable. I mean, I could watch it again right now.
And I would say, I mean, you know, it has a really good sequel. I would say in some ways, Predator 2 is superior to Predator. In other ways, Predator is superior to Predator 2. It's kind of like Aliens, where they're kind of different movies. They're the same, but kind of different. So they're not exactly comparable, but Predator 2 is an excellent feature. Predators has its moments. I think if they had spent more time trying to be their own movie and stop reference and didn't take so much time referencing the original movie.
There was too much of an homage that they were trying to do. You're right. It should have just been its own thing, which is kind of what I appreciated about the Predator. And even more so with Prey.
The Predator, I just can't abide by. I don't like how they changed them from being trophy hunters to, oh, they were stealing human DNA.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much I have. There are some moments. The Predator isn't a complete waste of time, but I ignore it.
I mean, I'm more apt to watch The Predator than probably either of Alien versus Predator, even if the second one is a considerably better movie.
I think AVPR is a way better movie than anybody gives it credit for.
I would agree with that.
It's definitely a trashy, overly violent exploitation movie, but that's kind of what I love about it.
Right, it's Alien versus Predator. That's what you wanted. I remember the first one just being like, that's the best you could do with these two franchises. Like, that's it.
The Predator in that movie gets some of the coolest Predator sequences in any of the films.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I don't understand why people don't like it.
Sure, right.
I mean, the fact that they decided to shoot the movie in all blacks without any sense of, without any light source is questionable. But yeah, I do myself, I do enjoy AVPR. There is plenty of Predator novels out there, but I want to specifically call out Predator Stalking Shadows by James A. Moore and Mark Morris, because this is the first time that Dutch returns in any form in any of the sequels or comics. Predator Stalking Shadow tells you what happens to Dutch after Predator.
Okay.
And it connects to
we Predator never find 2. Out.
And it leads into the Predator, because the character, Gary Busey's character from Predator 2 is in it, but also Jake Busey's character from The Predator is in. So this Predator Stalking Shadow bridges all the gaps between Predator and The Predator. It runs through Predator 2, and it introduces a new hero that's original to the novel, but his story parallels what's going on with Dutch, in Dutch's story as well. It's the main character in Stalking Shadows is working for the agency that is trying to hunt and study the Predators, whereas Dutch is putting a team together to wipe out the Predator anytime they appear anywhere on Earth. So, highly recommend that novel. If you're a fan of the series and you're really interested in seeing what happened with Dutch, you're going to want to check it out.
Now, what about the comics? Do they tie into the movies aside from name only? Or?
Well, the first comic, which was also the first sequel because it came out before Predator 2, you can actually see where they got a lot of the inspiration from Predator 2 in it, because it takes place in the city, only in the comic it's New York and not LA. The main character is a police officer, and they had it be Dutch's brother, who's a narcotics officer in New York City. And yeah, there's plenty of good reading in the comics as well. Some are better than others, but they're all pretty fun. I haven't read a lot of the other Predator novels, but most of them are pretty good. They really, especially they're ones that really go into the Predator society and what the what their society is like on their planet. They've given the species a name.
The Yautja or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it myself.
Y-A-U-T-J-A is how I see it. I'm not sure how that's pronounced either. But
yeah, there's some good stuff out there.
Do any of them cross with the Alien at all? Alien universe?
There are a couple of Alien versus Predator comics. I mean, the Alien versus Predator, you know, originated in the comics.
Right. But I'm talking about in the novels.
Yes.
They do? Okay.
Yeah, in fact, Tim Levin wrote a great 3-part series called Alien versus Predator Rage War, which is, you know, a far distant future where mankind is like basically established itself across the galaxy, and the war between the Predators and aliens starts even further encroaching on the Earth colonies, and to the point where a renegade army of humans that exiled themselves from the human race centuries before have weaponized the aliens either further and are now coming back into the galaxy to wipe out and control the galaxy on their own.
Oh, geez. So someone actually succeeded in making the xenomorphs a weapon?
Yes. I mean, we could talk. I mean, I think just like anybody, we could talk all day about Predator. It's an exciting thrill ride, but we've said it enough. It's famous. You know it. As far as recommendations go, I just made my recommendation with the novel and the sequels. But also, there's a movie called Without Warning that stars Jack Palance.
It's got Kevin Peter Hall in it too, right?
It's Kevin Peter Hall playing an alien that has come to Earth to hunt humans.
See, I don't think I've seen it. I've heard of it because, like I said, I knew he was in it, but I don't think I've actually seen that.
And it was made, I think, 2 years before Predator.
Oh, wow.
But it plays more like a Friday the 13th clone than a Predator clone.
Okay.
And speaking of Predator clones, I have to mention RoboWar, starring Reb Brown, directed by Bruno Mattei, which is basically...
Those are two of my... That's like my favorite sentence. I didn't realize it was a Reb Brown movie. Bruno Mattei movie starring Reb Brown.
It's called RoboWar, and it's basically a sheer ripoff of Predator.
I mean, I must see this.
They copy scenes straight out of Predator. In fact, even with Reb Brown throwing his knife through somebody and saying, wait here, or something like that. They have the scene where the one of the guys sees the robot escaping through the jungle and everybody comes running up and firing. Almost a scene-for-scene remake of Predator, only with a robot gone rogue.
Is it as worthwhile a watch as a Bruno Mattei movie starring Reb Brown sounds like it should be?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. All right.
Yes, but be advised that the whole time you're going to be like, this is just Predator.
Sure. Well, I mean...
This is just the low-grade knockoff of Predator.
Well, we did watch Island of the Dead, which is literally aliens. But again, it was fun, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely a shameless alien ripoff, but it was a fun, you know, 90 minutes or so.
No, it's the store brand cola.
We have Predator at home. Yeah.
You got any recommendations?
Not that you didn't already mention. I mean, pretty much any Schwarzenegger movie from the era is what I think of when I watch any of the other ones. It's almost impossible not to. Like, I want to watch Commando again. I want to watch Running Man again. It's actually been a little bit, probably not since we did the podcast episode on it. And that's a movie I typically watch in heavy rotation. So,
all right. Well, let's move on to our exploitations title for this movie.
Yeah, I couldn't. I mean, it's so much easier to work with when it's for a movie that doesn't really apply, you know, when it's a comedy or something. But I couldn't come up with anything for this.
Well, I just want to point out, too, that the original title of the movie was The Hunter and not Predator. And while Predator is a cooler title, Hunter makes more sense because it is hunting.
Right. But he's not doing it for food.
Yeah.
Or at least we don't think he is. Doesn't seem to be.
He might, you know, we don't know what he's doing with the skin. And
right.
Oh, no, because he leaves that behind.
Yeah, he leaves all the meat behind. So presumably it's not about sustenance in any way. Yeah.
Well, my exploitation title is Skull Hunter from Beyond the Stars.
I like it.
All right. Well, then that just leaves our Magnificent 7 Degrees, where we connect this movie to my favorite movie, The Magnificent Seven.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, we had discussed before this, the most straightforward route is probably straight to Eraser, right, with James Coburn. And I've also mentioned before, I forget what movie we were doing with Bill Duke in it, where, you know, he's in Payback, also with James Coburn. But I'm going to go with this one because it ties into what we've been watching recently, Matt. So this is pretty much for you. Remember when we were watching Buck Rogers? We were watching The Plot to Kill a City, and there's that, like, you know, super villain group of different villains with Frank Gorshin and so on.
Yes.
And there was that one guy, Marcus, or Marcos, who I said, boy, he looks familiar, the the bald guy, the bald kind of like brute guy, the one that Buck ends up double crossing first.
The gentleman from Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yes, there you go, Robert Tessier. So, okay, so Arnold Schwarzenegger was in The Villain from 1975, a Western comedy that I remember watching a lot as a kid, and I really want to see that again if I can find it. But Robert Tessier, he was in that. And he was also in Hard Times with Charles Bronson.
Nice. Again, we have the obvious with the two James Coburn's connection. I went with Sonny Landham, who was in Firewalker with Chuck Norris and Lou Gossett Jr. And Lou Gossett Jr. was in Aces, Iron Eagle 3 with Horst Buchholz, who was in The Magnificent Seven.
Fantastic. See, I'm a little surprised because I thought you were going to go with R.G. Armstrong.
Yes, R.G. Armstrong was also a consideration for my Whip Pistol Award here, but he didn't really do enough, unfortunately.
He kind of...
In the beginning and the end. Although,
I figured you were going to pick him as your link to The Magnificent Seven, though.
Oh. Yeah, his character is the one that actually is the only character that carries over from the movie into the first few series of Dark Horse comics.
Oh, okay. Do you ever see Anna again?
Well, the only time we ever see her again is in Predator 2.
Right. But I meant in the comics, if they use her in the comics or novels or whatever.
If they did, that they weren't anything I read.
Okay.
All right. Well, with that, I'm going to remind you, as always, you can check us out on Instagram, X, Threads, and Blue Sky, all at Movie Matt Sirois, all one word, MovieMattSirois. You know, questions, comments, see what we're watching, especially if you want to know what we're watching, you can check us out on Letterboxd at Movie Matt Sirois as well. And as always, we thank you for listening and hope to have you back next time.
Thank you, everyone.